And now open your hearts and minds to receive a fresh word from God that can change your life, delivered by our lead pastor, Eddie Swan.
Good morning. So we were just singing that last song, New Wine is the name of the song. And I've worshiped to that song myself personally for years. And I used to pray this prayer, and I want you to know it's the most dangerous prayer in the body of Christ. God, bring new wine out of me. Because you know what it takes to get wine? Crushing of grapes. And when you ask God to bring new wine out of you, that means that something in you has to be crushed. And it's usually the things that you've held on to the tightest. But we have to open our hands and say, God, I want something new to come out of me, and I don't care what it takes for you to get it. Bring it out. And you know what he'll do? Like, I love Lucy, right? Start stepping on them. Some of y'all are like, who's Lucy? I love Lucy. For you older folks, you know what I'm talking about. All right, hold up your Bibles and let's jump into the word today. So what I want you to say before we make our proclamation is, say, I won't be offended. You promise me? All right, good. Amen. All right, so here we go. This is the word of God. I will choose to believe it over my circumstances. I will choose to trust it whether I see the results immediately or not. This is God speaking to me today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, 8 weeks ago, I started a series entitled Prepare for Battle. I've been talking through Ephesians chapter 6 on the armor of God. And each week, we got to that place. Put up Ephesians 6:10 if we can, Paul. Ephesians 6:10, there it is. And what happened was, as I began to study and prepare for this series, I got to this word finally, and I couldn't get past it. And the Lord kept saying, as I read through Ephesians 6:10 through 20 on the armor of God, the thing the Lord kept showing me was the previous 5 chapters of Ephesians, there's so many great biblical and spiritual truths and promises that we have to remind ourselves of what we already have before we can go on to get what we have, okay? So we have to remind ourselves what Jesus already did for us so that you can have what he has for you, amen? So that was the reason I went back over the weeks and highlighted one biblical truth. In chapter 1, I showed you that you are highly favored of God. I want you to understand, regardless of what anyone says about you on this earth, regardless of where you think your status is or where you think your status is not, I want you to know in the eyes of Almighty God, you are highly favored of God. Amen? Chapter 2, I reinforced the fact that we are saved by grace through faith. And this is why, Ephesians 2:4, because of his great love for us. I've told you that several times over this series. Have you ever gone through your life and at any point felt unloved? Yes. If that's you, would you raise your hand? We've all at times, I'm sure, felt unloved by people, but I want you to know, as a child of God, you've not lived one moment on this earth when God didn't love. Matter of fact, prior to your walk with God, there was not one moment of your existence that God didn't love you. You understand that? Not when you were in your worst sin, not when you were at your best, his love for you never changed. God loves you with an undying love. And I say this all the time, and I want you to get it. I say it because I want you to get it down in your spirit. I want you to know God's not mad at you anymore. Instead, he's madly in love with you. Amen? Chapter 3, I told you that you're chosen and accepted. Remember the little game on the playground? I choose Bob. I choose Mike. We used to choose all the guys who were fast and strong and could catch or could throw, whatever, right? And then all of a sudden, the nerds get chosen. The world needs nerds. Nothing wrong with nerds. I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying. I'm not being offensive to nerds. Your workplaces are full of nerds. We need nerds. I mean, right? Can't get stuff done without the nerds. You're out there doing your thing, and the nerds are making sure it gets done right. I want you to know, God, he didn't choose you last. He chose you first. Amen. Chapter 4, I talked about the fact that we were called and we were put together in this thing called the body of Christ so that we could be a unified church. Now, not just our church, but the church as an organism, as a whole, was called to be unified. Jesus prayed the prayer in John 17. Father, I pray that they may be one as you and I are one. Now, I want you to get your head around this, and I really honestly believe this to be true, that if the day comes when the church as a whole comes together and becomes unified, we put aside all those little things that we disagree on, and we can come together and say, hey, Jesus is the reason we're here. I want you to know God's going to do something on the earth that none of us have ever dreamed or imagined before. Amen. And then chapter 5, I told you that he tells us in chapter 5 to live as wise, not as unwise. And when we decide to live as wise, godly wise, as opposed to unwise, we begin to walk in the will of God, and the will of God for our lives is good, pleasing, and perfect. Amen? So here we go. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the fiery arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And here it is where we are today in verse 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Paul said, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Praying in the Spirit. The last piece of armor that we're given in the armor of God, one of the most misunderstood and often rejected gifts of the Spirit in the body of Christ today. This gift is not just misunderstood by common everyday churchgoers, but by theologians throughout history have disagreed and gotten in arguments and fights and quarrels about this one thing and this one thing alone. I want you to know this: it's a mystery. In some circles, it's taboo. And the idea around praying in the Spirit or speaking in tongues has gotten people to reject the gift completely because it is misunderstood. But Paul doesn't want us to misunderstand it. Paul wants us to understand it completely. In verse 18, he said, pray in the Spirit. The word Spirit is the Greek word pneuma, and it means in the spiritual mind and with the breath of the Spirit. In other words, what he's saying is that we have this incredible piece of armor available to us and to all that walk with Jesus, and here it is, and believe it and receive it. The ability to pray on another level. Anybody ever feel like their prayers were just kind of hitting up against the ceiling and you felt like you needed a little turbocharge, right? Well, here's how you can turbocharge your prayer life. To build the ability to pray on another level. Now, in our spiritual minds, not our earthly ones. Now, there's a theological belief that has permeated the world around us that says that the gifts of the Holy Spirit ceased with the dying of the apostles. The problem with this teaching is that there is no biblical evidence to support such a theory. It's only because of misunderstanding that they decided we're going to reject this idea, that this idea was good for that time in history, but it's no longer relevant to today. I want you to understand that the gifts of the Spirit are as relevant to today as they were in 33 AD at the day of Pentecost when they were poured out. And today I promise you, if you've ever been in church and you've ever heard somebody speaking in tongues and you were like, that's just weird, I'm moving next week. I've had people tell me, I can't sit by this person and that person because, man, they're in worship, they praying in tongues, and it just freaks me out. So I'm going to switch sections. You can switch sections or you can join them. And today, I promise, if you just bear with me for a few minutes, I'm going to hopefully relax your fears, your anxiety about this idea of praying in the Spirit. And I hope by the time the service is over, you're all coming up here to saying, I want some. Amen? All right, so five of y'all going to want some. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote more about spiritual gifts than any other writer in the entire Bible. We know that the Apostle Paul wrote about two-thirds of the New Testament, and he wrote more about spiritual gifts than all of them combined. And most of the writing on spiritual gifts is found, really, it's several places throughout the New Testament, but in two places in particular, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So if you'd go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to start off with what Paul says about the gifts of the Spirit. That's what he says in verse 1. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. In other words, that word uninformed means ignorant. I don't want you to be ignorant about these things. I want you to know them. I want you to know them because they're important. They're a gift to be used by the receiver to display the working of God in the life of a follower of Jesus, for others to see and understand that God is intimately involved in the life of his people. Amen? Then if you skip down a few verses in chapter 12 to verse 7, this is what it says. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues. You might want to highlight that in your Bibles. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Now, we see in verse 10, there are different kinds of tongues. Now, if you would, turn a couple of pages over in your Bible to chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. Let me help you here. So he starts off verse 1 with these words, follow the way of love. Now, why that? Because what happened was we just read through 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is the chapter about, thank you. And so he's saying, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like, he says, every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be edified. Built up, that's the word. Now, brothers and sisters, if I come to you and I speak in tongues, what good will it be to you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or word of instruction? So we see speaking in tongues has a dual role within the body of Christ. Role number one, it's a language for you to connect with God for you. I want you to know God is concerned about you, and he wants to deeply and intimately connect with you on another level. And he gives us this prayer language so that we can connect with God on another level. Secondly, the second role of the Holy Spirit in our lives is to connect with God for the benefit of others or the church. And that is always going to be followed by an interpretation of tongues. And so there have been many times in our church services, someone will come to me and, Pastor Eddie, I got a word from the Lord. And they'll tell me the word. We've had times in the past where somebody would speak in tongues out loud. And if no one interprets, we just continue on in worship. That wasn't for the body. But if they speak in tongues out loud where everyone can hear, and someone else, or sometimes themselves, it can be the same person, someone else comes behind it with an interpretation of just what was spoken, then what happens is we've edified the church. We've built up the church, the body of Christ. Amen? Don't cut me off yet. Now, the word tongues is the Greek word glossa, G-L-O-S-S-A, and this is the definition, an unnaturally acquired language. In other words, this language can't be acquired by natural means. You can't go to buy Rosetta Stone and ask for the glossa dialect. Could I get the speaking in tongues version? I'm sorry, we haven't developed that one yet. Because they can't, because it doesn't come from natural means. It comes from God alone. Amen? Amen. So I have friends who are foreign missionaries all over the world, and every one of them at various times would have to go to language school in order to learn to speak the dialect of the people they were going to serve in. And sometimes it would take them a year or more to learn the dialect. Now, I want you to know, we have a foreign land that we're going to one day called heaven. So y'all thinking, where are we going? I mean, if you're a Christian, you're going to a place called heaven. I want you to know there's a dialect there. You following what I'm saying? There's a and the only way you can learn the dialect is through the Spirit. Does this half the room get what I'm saying? I'm not sure. Now, it's only by connecting to the one who baptizes. We know that baptism, the word baptism is the word immersion, right? And it's when we're immersed in the Spirit of God that we get the gifts of the Spirit, right? Amen. Amen, right? Don't cut me off yet, please. I want you to know many times in my own personal prayer time, there'll be things that I need, that I'm going through, things that I'm struggling with. I don't have the answers to. Anybody ever find themselves there? You're going to God and you're like, man, I need to pray, but I don't even know what to pray. Like, there's turmoil in my life. There's uneasiness. There's unsettledness in my life. I don't even know where to begin. I don't have the words to speak. And sometimes in those prayer times, I'll just put on worship music really loud in my car, and I'll start speaking in tongues, and I'll just start praying in tongues. And then many times when I finish that, I leave there with complete peace, and I leave there settled, and I leave there knowing that whatever the next step is, it's going to be okay. Do you know why? You know, because God already knows what you need before you need it. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will jump in and intercede, that's pray for you or on your behalf. Believe me? Turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. I want you to know, there has not been a time, that's not a good statement. There have only been a few times in my time of praying in tongues that I left there knowing what I prayed. Most of the time, it's with wordless groans. I don't even know what the words are. They don't make sense to me. If you heard me, you would think I was out of my mind. But you need to put on a straight jacket and go into a rubber room somewhere. Son, you crazy. Because you know why? It ain't for you. It's for me and Jesus to connect on another level. And when I leave those experiences, I know that I've been in the presence of God, because now the unsettled becomes settled. The unsure becomes sure. You get where I'm going, right? And this is what he says in verse 27. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people. Here it is. Look, in accordance with the will of God. So when we pray in tongues or we pray in the Spirit, what happens is God is aligning our spirit with his spirit. He's aligning our will with his will. I want you to know there's no greater place to be than in the will of God. when I don't know what to pray, I just say, Holy Spirit, step in and pray for me, because now I'm at a loss for words. I know you probably find it hard to believe. The pastor already is at a loss for words. Happens all the time. And many times the Holy Spirit has to step in and begin to connect my spirit to his spirit so that I can be set at one again. Peace. Amen. And this is what I know. I know that will always work out. Why do I always know? Because verse 28 says, and we know that in all things, in the unsettledness, in the uneasiness, in being unsure of whatever it is that I'm going through, God works it for the good of those who love him. I love him and have been called according to his purpose. I want you to know, if you're a child of God, you've been called according to his purpose and what he wants to do in your life. I promise you, it's going to turn out okay. Even if you don't understand how at this moment. So we're to use this supernatural prayer power, this prayer to pray. What does he say in verse 18, Ephesians 6, 18? We have it? Look at that. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Here it is, with all kinds of prayers and requests. Many times people attempt to start a prayer life, or I've had this before. They'll come to me and say, hey, Pastor Eddie, I'm trying to start my own quiet time, my own prayer life, but I don't even know how to start. I don't even know where to pray. Is there somewhere in the Bible that tells me how to pray? As a matter of fact, there is. And if you want to turn with me right there to Matthew chapter 6, we're going to see what Jesus said about how to pray. And so we're also going to dispel some, let me think how to put this. How about I'm just going to tell you. Okay, here we go. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. His disciples had been hearing him pray, and they said, hey, teacher, would you teach us how to pray? Look what he said. This then is how, say how. Say not what. Do you hear? This is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we've also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I want you to see a perfectly modeled prayer might look like and what your prayer time maybe should be modeled after. I want you to understand the Lord's Prayer, or the Our Father as it's commonly known, was not designed to be a prayer. I was raised Catholic. Don't shoot the messenger. This is what the Bible says. This is how you should pray, not what. What kind of prayer should we pray? The first one is always, according to the Lord's Prayer, the outline for prayer is always prayers of adoration. Our prayer time should always start with adoration. What is adoration? Worship. Our prayer time should always start with us going to God. Look what Jesus said. This then is how you should pray. Our Father, my Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. God, you're great. You sit on the throne of heaven. I'm so thankful to be your child. You're the master. You're the designer. I'm glad to be your creation. I'm glad that you know me intimately. You've numbered the hairs of my head. I know it's not too hard for you, but that's not funny. I want you to know, worship should be the focus of the beginning of your prayer. There are many times in my own prayer time when all I do is worship. All I do is adore Jesus, because I always go back to the cross and I remember what he did for me. I want you to know, I don't care if you've been walking with God for a day, a week, or for 50 years, never forget the cross. Never forget the sacrifice Jesus made so that you could have a relationship with him and spend eternity with him in heaven. Amen? Amen. You should never forget the cross. The cross should cause you to worship. I used to pray this prayer, God, if you never do another thing for me, what you did on the cross was more than enough. That should be your prayer too, but instead we come like this. Gimme, gimme, my name's Jimmy. Come on, Lord, I need some stuff. I need you to do some stuff. I need you to interact in my life. I need you to move. You want God to move? Just worship. Just learn to worship him first. God, I come to you just to praise your name because your name is great. The Bible says that if we don't give God praise, if we don't worship, the rocks will cry out in our place. You know why? Because God must be worshiped. He's the creator. And as his people, we should have a time every day of our lives where we're worshiping. And adoration is how you worship God. And as part of your adoration, there should be some times in there where you're thanking him. Oh, sometimes it's so hard to thank him for where we are because we're always worried about where we're going. I'm just worried about what's next. I'm worried about that. I'm worried about over there. I'm worried about over there. God, I need to do this. And God says, what about all the stuff I already did? Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the cross. I thank you for what you've already done in my life. I thank you for giving me a great wife and kids. I thank you for my grandchildren. I thank you for the church that you call me to pastor. I thank you for these beautiful people, God. That's y'all. And what if you just started thanking the Lord for what you already have? I want you to know, you know what? The Lord loves to be thanked. We started doing that here at our church several years ago. I was just blown away. We bought this place and we came in here, and I would just start to say this: look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. And you know what? In my prayer time one day while I was just praising him, God, look what you've done. Look at the things you've done. You took us from six people in somebody's living room. And God, look what you're doing in our lives. This is amazing. And the Lord said, oh, you think that's good? You keep thanking me for what I've done. I got a whole bunch more. I got a whole closet full of done for you. But we're sometimes too busy worried about what we don't have. God, I'm too busy worried about what I want, what I need, that I can't give you praise. We need to learn to give him praise first. Amen? Secondly, the kind of prayers we should pray is prayers of supplication. Here you go. It's for those of you who call yourself Jimmy. Gimme, gimme. Give us today our daily bread in Matthew 6:11. Listen, we all have needs. God knows you have needs, and he wants to supply your needs. I'm going to do a sermon series, actually in a couple of weeks, on pride in relation to money. And I'm going to talk about, you know, that sometimes we can have pride because we got too much and we become stingy with it, or we don't have enough and we worry about it. I want you to know, sometimes we worry either way, and either one is rooted in pride because we're not trusting God for what he gives us or for what he has. We all have needs. God, we have a need, and we need your favor over a situation. God, I have a need that I need you to work in, a situation I'm facing right now. What do you need? Have you asked God? Many times we say, well, I mentioned it. Have you asked God to intervene in your situation? Ask your Heavenly Father for what you need. I want you to know, if all the people in all the world began to cry out to Almighty God asking for things, you cannot exhaust the storehouse of your Heavenly Father. I want you to get your head around, the storehouse of God is so big and it's so full and it has everything you need in it. You cannot exhaust the storehouses of God. Look what he said in Matthew 7:8. For everyone, say everyone. Everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? I want you to know, how many of you love your kids? And how many of you would literally do anything in your power to give your kids just about anything they want if you could? Of course you would, because you love your kids. And this is what Jesus is saying. If you then, though you're evil by nature, know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more your Heavenly Father, who wants to give good gifts to his children? I want you to know, your Heavenly Father loves you. It is his desire to bless you and bless you abundantly. Ask him for what you need. The third kind of prayer that we pray is prayers of intercession. Matthew 6:12 says, and forgive us our debts as we've also forgiven our debtors. God, I recognize your forgiveness in my life and to myself, and I am now going to extend that same level of forgiveness to those who've hurt me, to those who've offended me, to those who've done me wrong. And you begin to pray for those who have hurt you, those who have been mean to you. This is where the rubber meets the road, right? Like, yeah, I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure I'm ready to pray for those people who hurt me because they really hurt me bad. You know what? Pray for them. That's what the word tells us to do. Pray for them. Intercede for them. Pray on their behalf. God, ask God to do a work in their lives. Ask God to do something great and ask God to bless them. There are people within the body of Christ called to be intercessors. They're called to be intercessory prayer warriors. They're called to do that. And so we have a group of people here at our church that are intercessors. They meet here on Wednesdays and Thursday nights, and they meet here on Sundays when we have our prayer meetings the first Sunday of the month, and they pray for this church, and they pray for you, and they pray for me, and they pray for our government. They pray for all things that are going on in our world. I want you to know that some people are called to intercede, but every one of us is called to intercessory, to be intercessors of some sort and to pray for others. And I want you to know, start praying for the people who love you, the people around you, your family, your friends. Start praying for them. And then when God lays somebody on your heart, you know that you're in the middle of a prayer time and all of a sudden this name pops in. Haven't thought about that person in years. That's not there by accident. That's the Holy Spirit dropping that person in your spirit so that while you're in the midst of this prayer time, why don't you go ahead and pray for this person? As a matter of fact, you probably ought to call them later on and touch base with them because I promise you they're going through something. You know how many times over the years that's happened to me? I'll pick up the phone and I'll call somebody that the Lord has laid upon my heart. I say, hey man, I just thought about you. I was praying this morning and God put you on my mind and I just, man, I can't believe you called me today. You have no idea what I'm going through. No, I don't, but God does. And I want you to know he is concerned about the things that you're concerned about. And he's concerned about people. Jesus loves people, amen? We need to pray for the sick and pray for the addicted and pray for marriages and pray for the next generation and pray for whoever it is that God lays on your heart. Intercede, that's the third kind of prayer. And then the fourth kind of prayer is prayers of protection. Verse 13 of Matthew, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Pray for and against temptation and pray for protection. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and your family to, and pray for them and yourself and pray for your family that they can stand up against temptation. Listen, temptation is nothing new. Temptation has been around since the Garden of Eden, since creation has been on the earth. And I want you to know it hasn't changed in thousands of years. It's the same yesterday. It's the same today. It'll be the same tomorrow. And God, by his grace and mercy, has given us, the body of Christ, the ability to not just withstand temptation, but to stand up under temptation and to withstand it and to walk away victoriously. How do you avoid those things? Pray that prayer. Lord, deliver me from the evil one. Deliver me, Lord. Don't let me be swayed by the lies. Don't let me be swayed by his schemes. Let me stand up under it. Over the last 8 weeks, I hope that I properly prepared you for spiritual battle. The battle that you're already in and a part of. The spiritual battle, remember this, can only be won and victory assured when we fight it God's way. We can try to fight it on our own, and we can try to fight it in our own strength, or we can do it God's way. And he's already given us all the tools that we need to win the battle. Amen? Would you stand with me? The armor of God and the weapons that we have at our disposal become powerful as we activate them by belief. Remember, everything changed when you believe. What kinds of prayers should we pray in the Spirit? Prayers of adoration, worship, right? Supplication, intercession, and protection. If you are ready, say, God, I'm ready to step up my prayer life, and I want to be closer to you. God, I want you to give me this prayer language that Pastor Eddie's talking about, and I want to pray all kinds of prayers and requests, and I want to be closer to you. If that's you, come and join me here at the altar, and I want to pray for you. If you don't already have your prayer language and you want me to pray for you, you see me right there at those stairs as soon as I'm finished praying, and I'll pray for you specifically. If you just need prayer for something else, one of our prayer people will be at either side as you wait. As soon as I'm finished praying, they'll be there to pray for you about whatever it is that you need prayer for. Jesus, I thank you for the men and women at this altar. God, we come before you today. We lift our hands to heaven. Heavenly Father, we say, God, fill us. Fill us with your presence and power. God, we want a closer walk with you, Jesus. God, I want to be able to pray on another level. God, not just in words that I know, but in words that only your spirit could connect with, your spirit would know. And God, we pray, even if we don't understand, help us in our lack of understanding. Help us in our unbelief. And God, fill us with your spirit so that we know that it's you speaking in us and through us. God, I praise you for the men and women of New Beginnings Church. God, those who just desire to walk closer with you. Lord, fill them with your spirit. Fill them with your presence. Let them know that you're here. Let them know that you're with them. And God, no weapon formed against them shall prosper, and every tongue that rises in judgment shall be condemned because you're with them. I thank you, Lord, for who you are, for all that you've done these last 8 weeks. Bless them as they go today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. We'll see you next week.